HeyBoo Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Inner City Blues Festival's Healing the Healthcare Blues on Saturday, April 16th from 6 p.m. to midnight at the North Portland Eagles Lodge in Portland. The campaign for universal healthcare for every citizen is growing around the United States. Our local organization, Healthcare for All Oregon, has brought the movement to the stage for an outreach and fundraising mega concert featuring Vicki Stevens and the True Blue Lady Cat, Rosalind Hunters with LaRonda Steele, Terry Raw, Norman Sylvester Band, and many more. KBOO will be broadcasting live from the event. Again, that's Healing the Healthcare Blues on Saturday, April 16th from 6 p.m. to midnight at the North Portland Eagles Lodge, 7611 North Exeter Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Produce, write, and direct the film. I will star as the lead, edit the reels. I will play the music, write all of the tunes, sing all the solos and my backups too. Shooting the music video.
I got it.
Sony knees and sing like Agent Smith on overload. Design the website, brochures, and logo.
Got that.
Lean way back and take my own photo.
That's hot.
I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it my damn self. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it my damn self.
You know, sometimes you just can't count on other people to really help you out when you need it. So you just gotta do it yourself.
I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it my damn self. I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it my damn self.
Hi, you are tuned into another episode of Poetic License, and I am your host, Taria Autry. You just heard a song I wrote myself, created the music for myself, and surprisingly enough, the song is called I Will Do It My Damn Self, because that was the mood I was in that day. I felt like if I needed something done, I was just going to have to do it all by myself. Thank you for tuning in to this special episode that's going to be all about me. Why? Because yesterday was my birthday. So I feel like doing a show of my poetry is totally worthwhile. So thanks for tuning in. And you can catch past episodes of Poetic License by visiting my website, which is www.tariaautry.com. That's www.tariaautry.com. So for the rest of this hour, you're going to hear a variety of poetry from me, some taken from a couple different performances that I've been working on while I was in town. And I might even share some blogs and other things. So thanks for tuning in to KBOO Portland. This first recording is from a performance that I did at PCC Sylvania for Black History Month.
So I realize it's your lunchtime. You guys are busy students. That means you're multitasking. I'm going to guess, because I know when I was a student, I was working. I was studenting. I was adulting. I was single parenting, and every minute is precious. So I want you guys to know I'm just doing a short set for you today, and I also want to share with you that most of the poetry that I'm going to read to you today has not been read before an audience. So you guys are pretty special. You're gonna get some world premiere poetry today. You're welcome, that's my gift to you for Black History Month, because I care about the people. It's interesting that it's Black History Month. It's a short month. It's a cold month. If I could have had it my way, Black History Month would happen in May when it's warmer and we have all 30 or 31 days, whichever the case may be. But, you know, I'm glad that we're taking some time to acknowledge the very rich history that is beyond just African American history, which is beyond just the history of the African diaspora, but is also world history. Because it's all of our history. So in celebrating and acknowledging Black History Month, you're really celebrating yourself, regardless of how you identify on this racial spectrum that is all a socialist construct anyway. So I want to share with you a few fresh off-the-presses poems. This one is called Simple Days of youth. Find me running through sprinklers on summer afternoons, rivulets of cold water escaping wet curls, clinging cotton to skin. An image of childhood summer, dirt bikes with playing cards dancing over spokes to announce my arrival. A grinning German shepherd pulling me along at high speeds for blocks, leash taut around my wrist, me refusing to let go, my tennis-shoed feet struggling to keep up on this so-called walk. Simple times, before we knew fear, when laughter came easy, and when grabbing enough change in time to catch the ice cream truck equaled accomplishment. Simple days of youth. So I've been on this journey. I actually moved from Portland in May, and I've been like a rolling stone traveling across the country. I've been to, I guess, 9 different states over that about 9 months, and I've been describing it as me basically rebirthing myself. I visited Arizona, Utah, Nevada, California, Washington, North Carolina, South Carolina,
Florida,
Georgia, trying to decide where I might land and also marking some things off of my bucket list. And one of the things that I've been doing in this journey is also really acknowledging my past, my history, and opening space for love. So, you know, the other day was Valentine's Day, take it or leave it as a holiday. But, you know, love is in the air. So this piece is called Resurrecting Love. How do you explain to a lover the empty spaces, the sense of abandonment that never departs, a gaping hole like an excavated grave? I stare at the open cavity calling me home. How do we live while facing the chasm? Buried under decades of neglect, my heart might crumble like ash in your hands. People can be afraid of poetry, and I promise I'll give you a disclaimer before I might do one piece that I should probably warn you about. But, you know, generally speaking, I think poetry is good for you. I hope that some of you will decide whether you define yourselves as writers, whether you define yourself as creative. We'll be doing a workshop from 1 to 3. I'm very much about you finding your voice and your creative expression and doing things your way. Poetic license is very important to me. Technically, I have read this piece once before. I wrote it for my grandmother. My grandmother passed a few years ago, and I was asked to read a poem at the funeral, and this was what I shared. And so I haven't ever shared this with an audience outside of that. But in honor of Black History Month, our elders, and people who have inspired me, of which my grandma was one, I thought it would just be a fitting piece to share with you today. A poem for Grandma Laura. I was asked to read a poem at my grandmother's funeral, a seemingly simple task for a poet. I attempted to find a fitting poem written by another, one that spoke of love and loss, the struggle of survival, the accomplishment of aging in a world tainted by untimely death. 87 books of poetry on my shelf, favorite authors, African-American classics, modern-day rhymers, and I could not find a poem designed to fit my memories of a loving grandmother. I wanted a poem that spoke to the spirit of quiet fierceness, prerequisite for surviving the harsh conditions my grandmother faced. It's not easy to be Black and woman in this world, and she was bold enough to relocate here. I never heard her raise her voice, and she had 3 sons, which must have been a lot to handle, and a husband who could scorch the earth with his words, and I wondered, when I was young, how she could be so still, calm in the midst of a variety of storms, never seeming bitter. She radiated consistent, unconditional love. And for quite some time, I was the only grandchild, enveloped in attention and appreciation. She and I would sit reading for hours. She loved her magazines. They covered the tables, were stacked around the house, pages and pages celebrating Blackness, Black people, Black accomplishments, Black history. She was proud of who we were and passed that on to me, along with a love for reading and words. They say repetition is the key to memory, and there is one phrase that she said to me often enough that I could never forget. Now be sure and get your education, she would regularly remind me when I visited during school breaks, summer, winter, and sometimes spring, and as a youth, I remember wondering why she said it so often. Did she forget she already mentioned it? Didn't she know that I just wanted to go play with my cousins? Wasn't she aware that I was on vacation? Get your education. A regular refrain because she knew that was the one possession that can't be stolen in a world that isn't fair and often takes more than it gives. Get your education, because intelligence saves lives, wisdom opens doors, opportunity requires ideas and vision, and knowledge is a necessity. So she took her studies seriously as a young woman and encouraged me to do the same. Did she know, way back then, that I would be a teacher to tens of thousands, that I would consider myself a lifelong learner, that I would follow in those footsteps? She must have realized the potency of the seed she planted when she witnessed me walk across the stage in cap and gown as I went on to teach as university faculty and visited over 70 schools and colleges to work with youth and adults, encouraging countless others to pursue education and to love learning as its own reward. I can't say how many times I have heard her voice in my head as a teenager, as an undergrad and graduate student, and even still, like a gentle whisper reminding me to stay on the path that she and so many others helped pave for me, so that I might walk further and see even greater possibilities. I hold that lesson dear. Keep it close to my heart. She is a part of me from every memory to the middle name bestowed upon me in her honor. I was asked to read a poem at my grandmother's funeral, a seemingly simple task for a poet. And I attempted to find a fitting piece written by another somewhere in the 87 books of verse on my bookcase, but I couldn't find one that was the right fit. So I wrote this in loving memory for a wonderful grandmother whose influence helped shape my life and the person I grew up to be. Thank you very much.
Us or make us free, so mask in the light of celestial MCs. We shine on the horizon permanently. We're rooted, fluid, luminous, letting y'all know that we can do this.
Everyone can step up and do what we do. It's cool, opportunity can knock in at the house two doors down from you. So I got some mind while you hesitated. Time wasted in the back of the line, frustrated. Your lyrics and flows are already outdated. In your style, we made it while you waited. Hoping in the darkness, reaching out, groping, trying to grab hold of this and get open. But your mental pathway's blocked and locked, you can't enter. Come out of the cold, spent in a lyrical winter where stale ideas are hibernating and just stating, only to die in vain waiting. So step aside, hitch a ride, and find a new occupation. I feel the pressure of your blood rising from angst and degradation. Don't get mad, feel bad, the ideas you planned while scheming and dreaming fell through in a weekend. Maybe your destiny ain't truly emceeing. We're bringing it to you live from PDX.
Stop the acting, cause we aren't on TV. Don't look me over like you can read through me. Platinum calls of fame and jewelry, they won't impress us or make us free. So masculine, always celestial MCs. We shine on the horizon permanently. We're rooted, fluid, luminous, letting y'all know that we can do this.
Hop in the backseat on this journey. I'm the driver, don't trip on that macho shit. I'm on a mission to take you higher, back by determination and wisdom. Ancestral visions and rhythms are every intention is bent on reinventing. The system is hardcore, tantric, orgasmic, interactive, back by full moon tidal interactions that soothe and move. Surround, bound, remind me that I'm alive.
Was produced by the one and only Kiri Case. It is an unreleased track and an unfinished track, as far as mixing and production, but I thought I would share it with you so you could hear some things that I've been doing. And thanks for tuning in to Poetic License on KBOO Portland. I am still your host, Taria Autry, bringing you a show all about me. Next up, I'm going to be playing for you some clips from the Unchaste poetry reading. Now, you heard from the other poets on the special March bonus episode, but I did not include my performance. And so now you will get to hear that. If you missed the Unchaste reading series for February, here it is.
Invite to the stage is Taria Autry. Taria's work incorporates the arts and pop culture and history with personal, community, and political struggles. Her poetry collection, Roots, Reality, and Rhyme, which is also available for sale, bridges the personal and the political, the mythic and the real, and it sets the stage for her theatrical, multimedia, one-woman show. You can find out more about Taria at TariaAutry.com. Let's welcome her to the stage.
Thank you so much, first and foremost, for coming out tonight and supporting the words and work of Black women. We appreciate you for that. Gonna share some poetry.
Yes.
All fresh, off the page. Incongruities of the ego, the id, and the poet life. The person and poet I wish I was, written in lemon juice in the margins of sketchbook pages, awaiting a flame to finally appear. The imprint left behind from a pen pressed hard, the original page discarded, sitting cluttered with the other sheets of college rule. I throw pieces of myself away, wondering how long we can recycle ourselves in a state still harvesting timber. I imagine myself a poet, but this ink remains equal parts therapy and art, so maybe it's just a self-diagnosis manifested in stanzas. I try on dresses and wigs. I imagine walking literary red carpets laid across ghetto glamour, hidden histories, and volumes of unread texts, as if the shine of zirconium and sequins could hide centuries of being an afterthought. But this poet life escapes glamour, surrounded in the solitude of an empty room with just the sound of a pen attempting to scratch out ideas before they're forgotten. Muscle memory. And maybe you're always broken. So you get the glue, the stitches, the x-ray, the cast, the physical therapy, make the lifestyle changes, and you feel healed. But somewhere, under all that, is still the fracture, the points of weakness, the susceptible places that will always be prone to re-injury. So you move through the world fragile, like the slightest shock will shatter you, and maybe this time the surgery, the open wounds, won't take to recovery, since the symptoms are now immune to the antibiotics, because you've been treating the wound so long already. And you can't amputate your heart, remove it from its cavity, place it on ice to be reattached later like a dismembered digit. You can't cut it out for being the root of an infection that seems to only make you weaker as time goes on. There are no braces to strengthen the heart's position so it will stop falling over and over again, as if heights aren't dangerous to leap from in this world of jagged edges and cold, hard ground. You learn to love again. But after a history of hurt and failure, why would this time be different when the grooves in the well-trodden path are visible even in the dark on this circular journey that inevitably leads to loss? And people, they draw symmetrical hearts. They paint them pink and purple with flowers, rainbows, unicorns, and carved initials. But have you seen an actual heart? We dissected a bovine one in high school anatomy class. It wasn't pretty.
A lumpy organ with calcified edges, difficult to cut through, aorta and vena cava at each end, ventricles and valves wrapped in muscle, like it knew it had to be tough to keep beating in the face of everything else. It looked nothing like a Valentine's Day card, an unfitting container to attempt to store love in the first place, like it could just filter out the impurities, excrete them forward like foreign substances, unfit to be housed there or in the human anatomy at all. I thought if I unloaded the weight of my burdens, changed my diet of disaster, it would create space, an opening, a clear artery for love to enter through, and I would be fit enough to recover. But the hemorrhaging happened anyway, when love proved to be too much to squeeze back in to an 8-ounce organ. I wished I had done the math before I sawed open my chest, cracked apart my ribs, and attempted to make it fit. I should have studied the failure rates of open heart surgery instead of hoping for a miracle. I wasn't squeamish of the blood. I had a high threshold for pain. I knew how to cut with precision like angry tongues, sharp as razors. I even knew how to suture myself back together. But the actual mending, how do you learn to heal when the muscle memory only recalls the damage? Not the healthy times that date back so far, like childhood remembrances of being licked by the sandpaper tongue of a kitten for the first time, back when you hadn't healed yet because it was before being broken. And the points of damage are the strongest flashbacks, and the healthy tissue is a minuscule remainder, a blurred recollection of a beginning you don't know how to return to. This last piece that I'm going to read tonight is called Consent. As a survivor, every story of abuse is a trigger. The recounting of trauma in the news and on social media reopens wounds that I am still healing. And I know I am but one of an immense statistic that seems to swallow us all. And today, I don't want to talk about my pain or dwell in my past. I want to rewrite my present as a walk through a newfound Eden, a land where I am whole and know love, joy, and the beauty of consensual pleasure. I'm working hard to let go of the years of baggage that took up so much space in previous relationships. I've shorn my past like cut curls, laying on the salon floor. It took 4 cycles of every cell in my body regenerating to let loose the imprint of my childhood pain. 3 cycles to even call what happened to me in high school and college assault. And after coming into this new body and naming my past, I am learning to escape its shadow and find love for self in the sunlight of my own creation. And for the first time, I've come to my love feeling whole. And he rocks my fucking world. And when we make love, I leave no room for uncertainty in my desires. I say, yes, 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 over, as he slides in and out of me like a magician making orgasms materialize like brightly colored scarves from the depths. I love you in me. I whisper in his ear to let him know he is invited and welcome. Just like that, I exclaim, when he finds new ways to please me and reaches those spots that make my back arch. And I reciprocate, like exploring his body is a calling I can't help but answer. I tell him how I want it, which seems to be all the time. God, you feel so fucking good, I moan. As his tempo accelerates, our breath grows faster till we tumble over the edge. And wrapped up in each other, sweaty, skin touching skin across the lengths of our naked bodies, we hold each other joined as one, and we kiss, we cuddle, and we smile. Then we share stories and laughter in the dark, like childhood friends sleeping over before finally closing our eyes. And this is the best sex. This mutual desire and pleasure, this freedom of expression, this gift of intimacy we celebrate like every day is a holiday we created. And like the best meals, sometimes we have seconds and even thirds if our appetites are voracious. I want all sex to be that which is had with resounding, consensual
Yes, exuberant, abandon, and reciprocity. And as I read daily reports of mishandling and abuse of something so sacred and so powerful, I want to remind everyone how hot, passionate, mutual consent is. And if it's not an established, resounding yes from your partner, pause, stop, step back, rethink your choices, and reevaluate how you get off. Because there is enough damage and suffering in the world, we don't need to inflict more. How can you enter someone disrespectfully without disrespecting yourself? Look, you don't have to be in love, but be loving. Don't waste his time, don't waste her time with games and cruelty. Be honest, be about joy, love for self, and for others. And if you can't do that, then go fuck yourself. And I mean that literally. Go fuck yourself, because you are not ready to be with someone else.
I had to include this clip of what Intizar said after I performed the piece, because I just really felt what she was saying.
I wanted to say how much I love Tariya's words at the end.
Yes.
Because you don't hear that.
Yes.
You don't hear joyous tales of sex. You don't hear joyous tales in the way she said it, which was so complete, like a circle. And it was so complete, and as she said it, my heart started throbbing. It just started like hurting and throbbing. I don't have an ending, but thanks for listening to us, and thank you.
I wanted to say across the board, regardless of how people identify, regardless of folks' choices of partners, and you know how you get down. Like, I think it's really important that we do it with love and respect. I think sex is something that's sacred. Our society tends to see it as a marketing tool, as opposed to something that can bring us closer to people, to ourselves, to the universe, to higher powers, whether you define them by name or on a religious level. I think there's something really powerful in that act. So I wish all of you either healthy sex with yourselves, because yay for that. I wish you healthy sex with partners, healthy abstinence, and just joy in all of your relations, family, friends, peers, and otherwise.
Wanna know my definition of cool? It's being the best possible you. If we don't feel good about ourselves, how can we appreciate anyone else? Love your own style, respect the way you flow, carry your personality wherever you go. You're the only you. Thoughts you think to the soul in your feet. The superficial's not what it's about. Cool radiates from the inside out. Chill, lean back, posted on the block. 247, 365, and it don't stop. It's not a mathematical equation measuring dollars and cents, like length and texture of hair or the spots you frequent. Cool is deeper than that. It's who you are, not how you act. What's my definition of cool? It's being the best possible you.
That beat was created by the one and only Jumbo, the Garbage Man of Life Savers, and we were playing around working on a demo for a possible advertisement, and we didn't make the cut, but gosh, I dig that. And seeing as how no one's really heard it, there you go. You got to hear it. Lots of things I've worked on over the years that haven't made it to the light, and who knows, perhaps that will change in the not so distant future, and a CD or some sort of collection of music will happen with my name on it. This is the wish I'm putting out into the universe. And speaking of wishes, hello, Portland, Oregon, and everybody out there in the listening world, wherever you may be. I am in the studio. So you were listening to pre-recorded first half of the show, and now you get me, Taria Autry, live. Thanks for tuning in to Poetic License. And I want to give a shout out to Liam, who's in here in the studio with me, making sure the sounds happen and we keep it grooving. And I'm so thankful to have him as a co-conspirator in this process of creating radio for you once a month, the first Monday of every month. And I would like to just share a couple events that I have coming up with you. This Wednesday, the 6th Word Warriors reading will be happening. It's at 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at Common Grounds Coffee House, which is near 43rd and Hawthorne in Southeast. There will be a bunch of incredible, amazing performers. Dan Raphael will be there, Jen Coleman, C.E. Putnam, Lou Yim, who I just had the pleasure of being in residence with Lou and a handful of other artists out at Caldera. And she is crazy talented and amazing. And so I hope that you will come and support all of those folks, as well as myself, at the Word Warriors reading this Wednesday. I also have a reading on April 19th, which is a Tuesday, at the Corner Bar, which is on Southwest 4th and Alder, and that starts at 8 p.m. sharp. But you don't have to memorize those things, but what you should memorize is my website, www.tariaautry.com. That's www.tariaautry.com, and you can always find that information and other things coming up. So thanks so much for tuning in. I want to share a couple poems with you, and most of these are fresh. Some of them have not been heard before. It's a combination. This first one is called The Letting Go. As you heard earlier in this broadcast, and I mean, I've been talking about it, and part of why I even started the show was because I hit the road on a journey of self-fulfillment to figure out where I wanted to land and be. And this piece talks a little bit about the letting go. I'm coming up on almost a year. In a month, it will be 1 year that I have been a Rolling Stone, or a bohemian, as my godmother likes to say. Arriving at a zenith, where work was finding me, I had a place all to myself and my comfort seemed secure. I stepped out of it, left an apartment, a region, most of my belongings and proximity of friends and family, without clear plans other than cities, couches, and spare rooms, a general timeline, and an openness to adventure. I didn't run away from anything, wasn't forcibly uprooted. I made a choice for myself to let go. That piece, letting go. And in my history, just as a little bit of personal information, since I'm the guest on my own show, I might as well, you know, be social about it. So the other times that I have moved to another state have all been around really drastic circumstances that weren't super pleasant. So this is the first time that I'm actually moved out of state by choice. It's really exciting. It doesn't mean it's not scary. It just means I got to make the decision, and I'm pretty excited about it. This next piece is called Fighting the Tide, and it is actually in a book that my daughter put together of her photography and asked myself and Walida and Marisha to write poems that bookended the work, and then she spliced lines throughout it. It was a really incredible project. There's only one copy in existence, but I promise if I figure out how to recreate it as beautifully as she did in her photography class, there will be more. Fighting the Tide. Grains of sand grow lost with each wave before settling back into each other, brief as the space and time between butterfly wings opening and closing, every moment fleeting. Out of place like petals washed on land, worn and still beautiful, we find the same shore. Footprints fading with the wind, walk on water before taking flight, count the distance to the horizon, measured in memories, faded landmarks, the eternal wear of fog and salt tides. Take my hand, like an anchor against the inevitable constancy of change. Lie with me beneath the fickle sun that too must set. Gather this awareness before being compelled by the ebb. Build bridges from one to another so we can easily return when once again we are washed away. That was Fighting the Tide. So some of why I'm back in Oregon, I've been here about 7 weeks, and I'm here for a couple more, is I've been doing work. So I was working with students at Jason Lee, which is a K-8 in Portland. I was also working out in Central Oregon with students at Terrebonne Community School. And when I'm working with youth, I give them prompts for writing, and oftentimes I get to sit and write as well. And so I also did the workshop at PCC was a time that I sat and wrote something. So I've been getting a lot of writing in as I'm watching and inspiring others to workshop and write. And actually, I think this piece was PCC. I wrote this at PCC during that workshop. It's called The Border Speaks. Separating North and South. A man-made border fenced along two countries guarded with guns and artillery, soldiers and police. I'm an idea in the minds of those who mark lines on the ground as if land can be owned when it all belongs to earth. Barbed wire, razor wire, mortar and brick, cement and wood, concrete and a desire and design to keep some out and let only some in, but which side are you on? My existence makes me unneutral. I decide fate by inches, yards, miles. I cannot be moved, though many will relocate themselves to one side or the other. Who chooses? I am marked with blood of ancestors, tears of families torn apart, legality of life. How can a human being be illegal for existing? If I had hands, I would tear myself down, uproot the foundation that is buried beneath me, strap myself with explosives and return to rubble, blend back into the earth as mud, undivisive, unobtrusive, without judgment of who does and who doesn't belong. If I had feet, I would walk myself to other locations, fence in my designers, surround the policymakers who considered me a good use of resources, let them sit within my walls like prisoners and feel what it's like to experience restricted movement, boundaries uncrossable, separations from loved ones, limitations. Instead, I stand here for miles and years, unable to take sides. Just creating the divide. That was from the perspective of the U.S.-Mexico border. So while I was out at Caldera, I did do some writing, and I think I will share some of that with you. So these are some short pieces. My love is a landscape of natural wonder. A ray of hope and inspiration, the song my heart sings never ending. When I am with my love, I feel satisfied, grounded, content with where I am. My love is gorgeous, solid like mountains and buttes, surrounding me in protection. I want to hike his geography, map out the details of his journey and interest, explore the layers that build one upon another to create him. Short piece number two. Rushing gusts waken the night. Walls vibrate against the pressure. Windows tremble. Sleep, a fleeting memory, washes away with winter's anguish. Spirits call out in weathered language, demanding notice while we lie restless in triangles on sacred ground. Three. Bend in wind. Release frigidness found in joints, burrowed in bone, in unnatural stiffness for bodies designed to dance. And this last short piece. Our fingers laced together, highway on the horizon, landscapes sliding past us. I would travel anywhere with you. Okay, so that's the good love stuff. Now I'm gonna take it the other direction. So this is called Good Morning, and morning as in mourning the death. Good morning, a love letter. In the midst of turmoil, the ground shifted beneath me. A tremor of earth shook everything loose, causing cracks in my heart. An internal state of emergency flooded with tears that left eyes dry as drought, and a body yearning to be held and comforted by arms that would no longer reach in its direction. After that disaster, when my world turned upside down, when my love declared he was no longer there for me, others showed up. So this love letter is not for the heart shatterer. This is dedicated to the menders, the healers, the ones who helped me pick up the fragmented pieces, reflected on the beauty of every jagged edge of me, then offered me glue and helped me put myself back together. This love letter is dedicated to the friend who shared something that he heard that really moved him. Sometimes we feel like we are just pieces of dust, that there is nothing we can do. But if you look into space, you can see how a piece of lonely dust can radiate back the most intense light. You just have to find that right spot, that right sunbeam. And then, all of a sudden, that piece of dust is burning out your retinas with intensity. And then, he told me, you, Taria, are easily in the top five of all the pieces of space dust I know. This is love. This love letter is dedicated to friends, the ones who called me and messaged me, listened and reminded me how much she cared. Then she expressed her outrage, her shock and disbelief, as well as her confusion that I still bother with men in the first place. The one who, even in this midst of his own loss, losses way more permanent and devastating than mine, expressed his appreciation, said he was there for me in whatever I needed, offering to drive hours to support my art and my heart. This is love. This love letter is dedicated to my cousin, who understood I would wake up with withdrawal after 271 days of consistent habit ending, because starting today, I would no longer hear a daily good morning from my love. So she sent me good morning wishes and hearts bright and early, so I would wake up feeling cared about in his absence. She, who reminds me all the things that we will do and accomplish together, and then declares bluntly, "Men are bitches," making me crack up till my sides and cheek ache at a time when I definitely needed laughter. This is love. This love letter is dedicated to the friend who I've known since we were teens. She rescued me from mountain isolation bearing wine. And then she did something magical. She held me in her arms and sang to me a song of what she wishes for me, of aspirations, of the beauty to come when I go deeper into my most powerful self. This is love. This love letter is a thank you to all of them, and a reminder that sometimes we have to feel the loss of love to truly understand and appreciate all the love that surrounds us. And in my mind, there's an audience going, ah! I'm doing the audience pause, but it's just me and Liam in here. I'm sure wherever you are, you're applauding. Thank you. I hear you. I feel you. This piece is as yet untitled. And this one, only one person has probably ever read this or heard it. And it still has no title. Those moments, your smile floods my body with warmth. Urgency and passion wash over me in waves. When you hold my face in your hands and kiss me deeply, I wonder why I would ever want to sleep when you are lying next to me. Wrapped in your arms, you sing me love songs exactly as it has always and never been, familiar as home, yet undiscovered terrain. I think I can melt into your landscape, live in the bends of your rivers, explore the peaks of your dreams, and find peace in your skies. But what if there is no place for me to call home? And love is only unrequited, and I must always be alone. Maybe I shouldn't have said anything, fortressed up my feelings, locked my doubts in buried dungeons to drown out their screams. Because on the heels of bliss follow the demons that dig themselves from shallow graves and resurrect every past hurt to join in the danse macabre, circling the fires of my deepest fears, tossing kindling to the flame. Because it is still so hard to believe that someone I love will also love me, as yet untitled. I'm going to do one more piece, and then we're going to take a little musical interlude. And this, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but if you would like to read the rest of it, you can go to my blog. It's on my website under the In Her Words tab, and that's www.tariaautry.com. This is called Things to Know About Breakups. There are positives. Part one. When I am in an exclusive relationship, I generally have to avoid Dwayne The Rock Johnson. My holding on to a pic of him and gazing at it too long, watching his movies, etc., could classify as emotional cheating because I start imagining the two of our lives together as a couple. Well, okay, we did have this one time together that I will never forget. He and I went on a date. I'm wearing this like smoking hot red dress. Dwayne, The Rock, arrives all handsome and suited. He tells me how incredible I look, and he comes in for one of those long, deep kisses, those chiseled arms wrapped around me. Later, he's opening the car door for me, and he gives me a confident smack on the behind. You know, one of those, he can do that because we've established it's his, and, well, we will be handling that later kind of smacks. And I think how lovely it is that we are this comfortable couple now. Okay, so I woke up before it went any further. But seriously, after every breakup, Dwayne appears in a picture, a new movie release. He reminds me not to forget about him. Case in point, the very next day after the breakup, I found this picture of him while clipping magazines for collages. And I actually have it here in the studio with me. And it's The Rock. He's got a milk mustache, and he's holding a cat that he just saved out of a tree wearing pajamas. It's beautiful. Is there any clearer message than this? But my point is, The Rock just gets me a little distracted. The point is that now I can keep this picture of my one celebrity crush out in the open, admire it, and feel no guilt. Thank you, breakup, for giving me back The Rock and for this picture, which affirms my long-held belief that my kitty would be in great hands with him. So that's what I wanted to share with you from that piece. And if you want to read the other three parts of that blog, you can check it out on my website, and here's a little music for you. Hey, you know what you should do? If you haven't already, when you log on to Facebook the next time, what you should do is go ahead and click like for KBOO Community Radio's Facebook page. Because when you find KBOO Community Radio on Facebook and you like our page, you'll have events, ticket giveaways, and great information on our programming delivered directly to your personal feed. One out of every 7 humans is on Facebook. Wait. That's crazy. 1 out of every 7 human beings is on Facebook. And I'm just saying, at least 5 of each of those 7 human beings should like Facebook, should like KBOO on Facebook. So, hey, join in with the rest of the people that have made the smart, brilliant decision and click like. You'll hear more, not just about my show, but everything going on at the station. And you don't want to miss out on supporting community radio. I don't know what the world would be like without community radio, and I don't want to find out. So please, like us on Facebook. And we're back to Poetic License, and I'm sharing poetry, my own poetry, a lot of things people haven't even heard yet. So this next thing, I know I was doing like kind of dramatic, you know, breakup love stuff. So I'm going to lighten it up a little bit and share this with you. So while I was out at Caldera doing my artist in residence program for a little over 3 weeks. It was about 3.5 weeks. It snowed about 3 feet, and most of that was over the course of a few days. And I hadn't been snowed in like that for a while, and it was very interesting. And I got excited. I was like, awesome. I've never snowshoed. I've never done any winter sports other than making angels, and I guess that's probably not considered a sport. So I decided I was gonna snowshoe, and I was so proud of myself. I was doing new things, and this story is for you in case you decide to go snowshoeing for the first time or any time. I'd like to share some advice. Things to know when snowshoeing. 1, walking a couple blocks in snowshoes feels far. 2, if you bring your phone with you, make sure that you zip it in your pocket. 3, if you lose your phone somewhere in those 2+ blocks of snow while walking, you might retrace your steps 3 or 4 times and still not find it. Also known as shit sinks in the snow, especially a warm, streamlined, thin phone. 4, if 3 is true, then get a shovel. And if you know you stopped to take a picture at some point halfway there, start digging from where you ended up and then work your way back. 5, sift through each and every shovel full of snow, widening the path you walked, and pray that the cell phone mojo is in your favor. 6, when you're about to cry over your fairly new leased smartphone being lost in a 3-foot drift of snow somewhere, a phone that you may or may not have backed up and are about to give up because it seems impossible, don't. 7, hopefully, when the music disconnected from your Bluetooth headset and you just thought the headphones died, not that you dropped your phone, the music still kept playing from your phone even after it was buried inches in the snow. 8, if 7 comes through for you, know that at first you may not hear music, but if you happen to shovel an area of snow and start to hear the faint sounds of music, give thanks and dig till the volume gets louder. 9, thank the artist whose voice eventually led you back to your smartphone, because were it not for audio, you might not have ever found it. Perhaps it will be one of my favorite classic Stevie Wonder songs, as, of course, this is all just hypothetical. I mean, I would never drop my phone in 3+ feet of snow. But you know, a friend might have. P.S. Thank you, Stevie Wonder. Oh, I was scared I wasn't going to get my phone back. I mean, my friend was really, really scared they weren't going to get their phone back. This is part of another blog that I wrote. And again, you can read the whole thing if you visit my website, which is www.TuriaAutry.com. That's TuriaAutry.com. And this was the second day of spring blog part of it. I am the paragraph unfinished with a topic sentence drafted.
Eventually, there will be a conclusion to this thesis that my everyday life is writing. The struggle is research for my becoming. There is no other topic more relevant to my life than myself. Who I am, where I am, where I'm going. These ongoing questions arrive at daily answers that are perhaps only as permanent as sand's location on a beach. These too shall be in flux. I too shall be moved by wind and waves, footsteps, and the constant act of being. Today is no different to the ocean or the moon. They continue in their cycles, adjusting to the time and season. But their essence is constant. My essence, too, is a constant. Everything else remains in motion. And I think we're getting close to time. I'm going to just take you out with one last short piece. It's called Washed Away. Washed away by warm rain baptisms and the music of thunder. The world reverberates rapture. There is always a new beginning. I want to thank you all for tuning in to Poetic License, and please come back the first Monday of May.
Listener powered non-corporate community radio.
Open your eyes.
is KBOO Portland. Listener powered,